found in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, 11, and 12. We left off speaking last week how that God visited the Egyptians with the terrible plague of darkness, so that it was so dark that they couldn't see one another for 3 days, that none of the Egyptians rose up or moved out of their houses, and that this darkness was caused by vapors that God sent. Artificial light that could not be used even because of the mist and the vapors were so wet that they immediately extinguished these artificial lights that they tried to use. These people then were in darkness for 3 days, possibly that they thought it never would get light anymore. This darkness is a type of each and every one of us who likewise are children of darkness in and through sin. We were once light in the Lord when he created us, but in and through sin we have become nothing else but darkness, and we are children of darkness, and we are following the prince of darkness. Darkness is a terrible thing, my hearers. When God withholds the light of his gospel, when he takes away the candlestick of his word from a nation, from a people, then these people are in darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he hung in darkness for 3 hours upon the cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What an awful thing it will be, my hearers, if we likewise will be forsaken of God forever and ever and be cast into that pit of eternal darkness where there'll never be any light. Oh, we are yet in the time of salvation, and we may yet by the Spirit of God be wrought upon. There may be some listening to me that have been wrought upon. They've been brought out of the power of darkness. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into their hearts and brought them out of their misery, out of their state of bondage, out of their state of sin. And they have become children of light by the wonderful light that God let down into their souls. They began to see things as they never saw them before. They began to enjoy things that they never had before. Oh, when this takes place, my hearers, such a soul enjoys much of the presence of God round about it. It enjoys much of the favor of God, the love of God. God witnesses so many times with his word in their souls and under the means of grace. And in this way, they enjoy much light. But those that have experienced this will say, yes, but let us never forget that it is written, the days of darkness are many. And so it may be with some souls that are listening to me. They have experienced something like that I've been talking about, but now they walk in darkness and they have no light. And they fear that they likewise will fall into this place of eternal darkness. The word of God says that those that have been born again, those that are righteous, they shall shine in this world as burning lights. And again the word says that the path of the just is as a shining light, shining more and more unto the perfect day. And such a soul says, it isn't that way with me. I'm in darkness. All my evidences are clouded. I can't see anything of what I experienced in the past. And oh, I fear that God has left me, that God has forsaken me, and that finally I will be cast away into eternal darkness. Are there some here that are in this position? What do you need? Why, you need a word from God. For the opening of thy word giveth light. And when this word comes, Immediately darkness is dispelled. Immediately faith is brought into exercise. And love again flows into a flame. Oh, this word is a sure word, my hearers. Has ever God given you a word? Has the word ever become a light, a lamp for your path? Have you ever been cheered? Have you ever been encouraged by the word? Has that word fitted your case? Has it met your case? It just was a light shining into your darkness, into your ignorance, into your unbelief. And you may abide by this word. This is a faithful word. This is a sure word of prophecy. It'll never fail. God never lies. What he has spoken, he most certainly will fulfill. It may be that you're like the Egyptians. For the Egyptians, they were in darkness. None of them raised themselves up. None of them moved. And this is the case with you. When you're in darkness, you can't raise yourself up out of that. And you can't move towards God either. You need to be drawn. You need a witness of his precious word in your soul. Shall you be able to rise up out of this state and condition in which you are in? What a mercy that God does not leave his people in this state, but he does visit them in due time and bring them again and again out of their darkness. Who among you doth fear the Lord and is walking in darkness and trusteth in the Lord? Oh, how little do we trust in the Lord in our darkness, in our ignorance. Unbelief, doubts, and fears crowd in upon us. But the Lord is a faithful God. Where he hath begun his work in the sinner's soul, he most certainly will carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ. And now after 3 days, this darkness was taken away. And now Pharaoh, he still refused to let the people go. He had called Moses, and he consented to let them go, but they should leave their flocks and their herds there. But Moses said, no, we have to take our flocks and our herds with us because we need these animals to sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And now Pharaoh became angry, and it appears from Scripture that he chased Moses from his presence. And he said unto Moses, you shall see my face no more. For the day that you see my face, you shall surely die. It's a wonder that this man, Pharaoh, had not already had Moses slain after so many judgments and so many plagues brought upon him. It's a miracle, and that it is, that he wasn't killed. We see in this that God takes care of his servants. No instrument that is going to rise up against any one of them shall prevail. That God has the heart of kings in his hands, and he turns them whithersoever he will. And this king couldn't take Moses' life, for Moses was designated to lead these people out of the land of Egypt to that heavenly Canaan, to that earthly Canaan here below. And now we find that he was chased away, and still we find him speaking yet to Pharaoh. And we must conclude that he didn't know that he remained there, and that God immediately flowed into him and revealed unto him what the next plague would be. For he begins speaking unto Pharaoh and saying that the Lord was going to visit the land of Egypt, and that God was going to go through the land of Egypt at midnight, and he was going to slay the firstborn of all those that dwelt in Egypt. The firstborn, even of Pharaoh, and even of those who were maidservants. And this threatening God spake unto Pharaoh by the mouth of Moses, that he was going to bring this upon them, and that there would be a cry in the land of Egypt, as there never had been before, and there never would be after. And now you would think that this man, Pharaoh, after experiencing so many times the truth of the words of Moses, who was speaking in the name of the Lord, that he would have listened. But he did not. God had even said unto Moses, he will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be fulfilled in the land of Egypt. And now we find that Pharaoh, would not consent to let the people go. And Moses, he went out in great anger, it says, the meekest man in the world at that time. He went out in great anger. The reason that he went out in great anger was that he thought surely this man, Pharaoh, would consent to leave the people go after being threatened that the firstborn in all the land would be slain. But he would not hearken. And therefore, Moses, he went out in this way. And now we find that God comes to Moses and he instructs him of what was going to take place and what the Israelites should do. We find that he said unto Moses, that this month shall be the first month of the year unto you. It is called the month Abib. Change time. This month will be the first month of the sacred year for the Jews. This would be the beginning of the time that God began to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. It was the seventh month of their civil year. It was the month that we would call March. This was the month that God chose and in which he would deliver the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. They were then to begin this very day a new year. And now upon the 10th day of this month, they were commanded to take out of their flocks either a lamb or a goat, a male of the first year without blemish. And they were to take this and they were to roast it in fire and they were to eat it completely. If now a lamb or a goat was too much for one family, then they were to bring two families together and to eat it together in one house. They were not to leave anything of it over until the morning. If there was anything left over, they were to burn it with fire. And they were to eat this roasted in the fire, and they were to eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. And they were to eat it with their loins girded, with shoes upon their feet. And in this manner, Moses was instructed by God that this was to take place when they took this lamb and slew it. They were to take the blood of this lamb or goat and strike it upon the side post of their door and over the top of their door, and this would be a sign unto the destroying angel that he was to pass this house by. And when I see the blood, then I will pass you by. And this was given by God unto Moses, and Moses, he related this unto the people. And the people, they believed this, they accepted it. How different was Pharaoh? He was told what was going to take place, and he did not believe it. He would not accept it. Had that man accepted what Moses had spoken unto him, how many lives would have been spared in the land of Egypt? But because of unbelief and the rejection of God's word and truth, therefore Pharaoh was visited in this way by God. It isn't any different today, my hearers. Pharaoh is a type of each and every one of us by nature. He hardened his heart, and so it goes with each and every one of us. Pharaoh had experienced so many plagues, so many disappointments. His land was practically ruined, and now God threatened to take his son away and the firstborn of everyone that lived in Egypt. And did it affect this man? Did he consent? Did he give in? No. And so, my hearers, how has it went with you?
Have you not been warned? Have you not been spoken to in love? Have not the servants of God admonished you and warned you to turn from your evil ways, to seek the Lord before that death may overtake you? For surely there is a terrible eternity awaiting you if you continue on in your sins. And how has it went? It may be that God has visited you in certain ways. You may have been in business, and the business, it went bankrupt, we'll say. Things went against you, you had to give it up. And then God came and probably afflicted you. He brought you down personally, individually. And then God went a little further maybe, and he took some member of your family away. And when these things take place, my hearers, people are under the impression, they are grieved, they are sober, or they may even turn from many of their evil ways when these things take place. But just as soon as these things are gone over, then these people, they return back to their sinful ways, to their mad rush to eternity. Indifferent, hardened of heart, nothing makes an effect upon them. Oh, my hearers, could I give you a good impression? That's the way we are. Do you realize it? Do you believe what I'm saying? Haven't you experienced something like that? Nothing softens, nothing melts your heart. You remain as you are all the years that you've been under the truth. Oh, what is necessary? A miracle of God, a work of grace by the irresistible power of God's Holy Spirit, or otherwise we remain what we are under all God's judgments and under all his goodness and kindness, and we remain still dead in sin, dead in trespasses. And now, my hearers, and we find that Moses, he spake unto the Israelites and told them what God had commanded them to do, and they believed him. They accepted it. It was in faith. They didn't say, well, what's this man telling us? Is this a fable? Is this a story? No. No, they believed this man, Moses, and that he was the servant of God, and he instructed them what they should do. And now these Israelites, they bowed down and they worshiped God because he was going to show what a difference there was between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And we find that God said unto Moses, when this takes place, then Pharaoh will thrust you out of the land. And now before he thrusts you out, you tell the children of Israel that they borrow of their neighbors jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And now these people, they experienced a miracle in Egypt. The Egyptians, they hated him at first. They did everything to make their slavery and their bondage worse and worse. But now all of a sudden they turned around and they began to favor these people. They realized that God had a favor towards them, and God worked in their hearts. And they began to loan their jewels and their good things unto the people of Israel. And Moses, this man of God, he was grieved in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Yes, he was, because he had been the instrument in God's hand whereby these Egyptians had been plagued so, and they had likewise been given to see that this man was a servant of God, that he had connection with the Almighty, and therefore he was grieved in their sight. And now, my hearers, God said that on the 14th day of that month, they should do this. This is the institution of the Passover. And we find the Israelites went, and they did as Moses had commanded them. They took this lamb, or this goat, and they slew it. And they took the blood, and they put it on the side post of their door and over the top of their door. This lamb typified the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a lamb without blemish, without spot, it was a male of the first year, typifying the purity of the humanity of Christ, typifying that he was to be that sacrifice that would come in due time. And they were to take this and they were to kill it at night. The Lord Jesus Christ, he instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper the night in which he was betrayed. And he went out and he gave himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. It was during the night that he was taken prisoner and that he was led unto Herod. He was led likewise to Pilate. And finally he was led outside of the city of Jerusalem to Calvary, where he gave and shed his precious blood for the remission of sins. These people, they were then to take this blood, and that would be a sign for the destroying angel when he went through the land of Egypt. Wherever there was blood, the angel would not enter in. But where there was no blood, the angel struck the firstborn in that house. All blood then, my hearers, was for the Israelites, their Savior, their protection, their safety. They found shelter under this blood. Oh, my hearers, this typifies unto us that we likewise must have the blood of Jesus Christ upon our immortal souls. No blood on your soul, then you will experience the anger and the wrath of God to all eternity. Oh, my hearers, it's so necessary that we have an interest in this blood, in this righteousness. Oh, how many of you that are listening to me fear that you have no interest in it? How many of God's dear children even say, oh, this is what I lack, this is what I miss, oh, what shall become of me with all what I have experienced if I have not this blood upon my soul? Then I likewise will experience the wrath of God to all eternity. Oh, how many are in this fear? How many tremble at times? But how many may also say at times, there is such a spirit of prayer given unto me that I see so much preciousness in this blood, and there is such a cleaving to this Jesus that he would manifest himself unto my soul, and that I cannot live or die without him. Is that your case? Oh, may God give you no rest until you may be assured of your interest in this Jesus and his precious blood. Oh, my hearers, how necessary for you and I to be found in him. These Israelites, they were to take this lamb, this goat, and they were to eat it completely. They were not to leave anything left till the morning. It was to be roasted in the fire. They were not to cook it or anything, but they were to roast it. These are spiritual emblems of the Lord Jesus Christ. That being roasted in the fire was a sign that he likewise would be totally consumed by the wrath and by the anger of God, that he had to give his soul and his body for the sins of his church. They were to take this lamb and consume the whole thing. There was nothing to be left of it. It also typifies that in no work of the creature which is shadowed forth by the unleavened bread. That is a type of each and every one that is being led on the narrow way. They are brought away from all their own works, and that this work of Christ is the only work that is satisfactory. Not part of your works and part of Christ's works, but it will be him and him only. They were to eat it with bitter herbs. These bitter herbs signified in the first place their bitter bondage, their servitude that they had been under in the land of Egypt. But it also typified that bitter cup that the Lord Jesus Christ had to drink out for his church, for his people. Or he likewise was given to suffer and to die upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, when we think of how he crept like a worm in the dust in the Garden of Gethsemane, how that when they brought him before Pilate and he was crowned with thorns, that the blood ran down his face, how that he was beaten and smitten on his back, and how that he finally was led to Calvary to hang there, to suffer and to die. Oh, what a bitter cup, my hearers, when God hid his face from his dear son, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this bitter cup, Jesus drunk every drop of it out. Oh, is there a soul saying, oh, I wished I knew that he drunk that for me. Oh, how I wish I had a witness in my heart that Jesus suffered for me. Oh, may you be given by the Spirit a witness in your heart, that you may be given that assurance that Jesus is your Savior. This Passover that God instituted for the Israelites, there was to be a memorial unto them from generation to generation. They were never to forget what God had done for them in the land of Egypt. And my hearers, we find that at midnight, God sent this angel, and he went throughout the land of Egypt, and he struck the firstborn of every male and of every beast. There was an awful cry in the land of Egypt. It was at midnight that this took place. Oh, my hearers, what an awful thing. There wasn't a house in Egypt where there wasn't one dead. Oh, you can, by your own thoughts, think, oh, what sorrow, what grief there must have been in the land of Egypt. Oh, God made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. There was none dead in the houses of the Israelites. They all had obeyed Moses. They all had put blood on their doors and over the top of their doors. They weren't any better, my hearers, than the Egyptians. Oh, no. They were sinners, just the same as the Egyptians. It was God that had instructed them to do this. It was God, in his mercy and his love, that spared the Israelites. Not because they were any better, my hearers, although God had made choice of them. God separated these people from the Egyptians. And oh, my hearers, it came at midnight, and it was an awful cry in the land of Egypt. There is a time coming, my Hebrews, and it will be at midnight. It will be at a very dark time. Then there will be a cry, lo, he cometh with the clouds. Behold, every eye shall see him, and even those that have pierced him. Oh, my Hebrews, have you ever placed yourself in that day when that glorified Emmanuel shall come upon the clouds, when every one of us shall see him? You'll see him and I'll see him. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. And there will be such a cry in this world as there never was before. Oh, what a cry will go up from those that do not know him, have never sought him, have never served him. There will be such a cry. Rocks and hills fall upon us from the face of him that
sitteth upon the throne. Oh, may we all be prepared for that great and solemn day. And my hearers, these people, the Egyptians, in their sorrow and in their grief, they went from one house to another, but no matter what house they entered in, it was the same calamity. There was a death in every house. Oh, what an awful judgment. What an awful thing in this land, my hearers. And now you may understand something of it, some of you that have had a death in the family. Then you know what grief, what sorrow these people went through. There may be some that are listening to me that had their firstborn taken away. The firstborn is usually the strength of their excellency. This was the way it was in Egypt. Oh, my hearers, this is an awful thing, death. It's the last enemy. It's an enemy that you and I fear. And all, there is only one that hath overcome this enemy, and that is Christ. He overcame death. And all these people, the Israelites, they were exempt, they were spared from this awful judgment. And Pharaoh arose at midnight. He himself had lost his son. And he called Moses in his haste. And he said, get out of the land with these people. Take your flocks and your herds and your little ones with you. And go and serve your God and bless me also. Oh, he was in such a fright. He was so afraid, my hearers, that he would be the next one that would be smitten. And therefore, he actually thrust out Moses and these people out of the land of Egypt. And this was a night never to be forgotten for the Jewish people. And they were to remember what God had done for them in this land. And they went out of this country with the jewels and with the gold and with the silver of the Egyptians, which God had seen to it that they had received. And these poor Hebrews, they had been slaves. And they had been made to serve with rigor. They had probably not received hardly any wages for the work that they had done. But now God seen that they were rewarded. They went away out of the land of Egypt, just as if they had plundered this land and took everything good out of it. And they went up out of the land. And they went up out of the land of Egypt, 600,000 men upon foot. It does not say women and children. It just says 600,000 men. The commentary believes that there was over 1,200,000 people that went up out of the land of Egypt. And there were many that left the land of Egypt, Egyptians themselves. And there was a mixed multitude that went up with these people. Many of them, they seen that the land of Egypt was destroyed, that there was no use in living there anymore. So therefore, they went up with them. There were many that had been hearing these Jewish people speak, that God was going to appear unto them upon a mountain, and they were to worship this God. They had been begging Pharaoh to lead them go 3 days in the wilderness. And many of these Egyptians, they went out of curiosity to see what this wonder would be when God would appear unto these people. But then there were many that just went up because they didn't know why. They just went along. Not because they had any desire or anything, but they just went along just like that. And these are the people that they had the most trouble with. Because this was the mixed multitude. Later on you read that these same people, that when they heard that they had to go through the wilderness 40 years, they up and they went back into Egypt. And these were the people that troubled the Israelites. There always were amongst the Israelites those that were not of their nation. It's the same way today, my hearers. In the Church of God, there are yet hypocrites. And there always will be. And so it was amongst the Israelites when they went up out of the land of Egypt.
And now when they went up, harnessed, it says,
they didn't go up
helter-skelter. No, they went up not as a confused multitude, but they went up harnessed, which means they went up in ranks of five apiece. They had a leader, namely Moses, who was directing them which way to go. Because God had directed Moses that these people were to go up and not to go through the land of the Philistines. This way to Canaan was very short. They could have made it in 4 days. But God directed them that they should go up by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. God had his all-wise reasons for this. In the first place, the Egyptians were to be drowned in the Red Sea. In the second place, the Israelites were to be humbled and to be proved in the wilderness. And in the third place, they had been speaking unto Pharaoh that they would be given to go out 3 days' journey and worship God on this mountain. And God had promised Moses when he brought him out that he would worship him there. So according to Scripture then, they even had to go this way. They could not go through the land of the Philistines because the Philistines were a formidable people. They were a powerful people. And the Israelites had just come up out of slavery, out of servitude. They had no weapons. They had nothing whereby they could fight against these Philistines. And the Philistines would have overpowered them. Of course, God could have prevented this, but it was in the providence of God that they had to go this way. And now, the way of God may seem to be long, but it's always the right way. And it always leads to the best end. And now these people, they had to encamp in a place called Succoth. They went up from a city called Ramesses. This city was a treasure city which they themselves had built for Pharaoh. It was also the capital of the land of Goshen. They went up from this city to a place called Succoth. And there was their first encampment. And from there, my hearers, God directed them to a place called Pi-hahiroth, Baal, Shephon, and Migdol. Migdol was the name of the city there, and Baal, Shephon was the name of an idol god that these people worshipped. And this idol was setting upon one of the mountains there. It was called the God of the Watch. Mariners and travelers and men that sailed the sea, they looked to this. This was a sign for them. And now these people were told to encamp here. And they did as God told them to do. They came into a narrow pass where there was mountains on each side. And the sea was in the front of them, the Red Sea. And now back in the land of Egypt, we find that they told Pharaoh that these people, they were all confused in the wilderness. They didn't know where they were going. And he began to speak with his servants, and he said, why did we ever let these people go from under the slavery that we had them? And he gathers 600 chariots together and all his chosen men and captains, and he immediately begins to pursue after them. My hearers, what happened to Pharaoh and to his host, and how God miraculously spared again the Israelites, we wish to speak about next week, the Lord willing. Our time is gone. That's all for today.